So we have two readings this morning, both from the Gospels. The first is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. And our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I'm now going to invite Jonathan up, and I'll pray for him before he speaks. So, Jonathan, thank you for coming to be with us today. How far have you travelled today to be with us?
So, I've only come from Ilkley, not too far. Yeah. But I have to say, I've probably driven through Stardeck before, but not actually stopped here. And one of the great privileges of being a Tear Fund volunteer speaker is that you get to come and worship and share fellowship with so many different churches in the locality. And I'd just like to say to you and to all the congregation, thank you so much for inviting me here to worship with you today.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us and lovely to welcome you. Let me pray for you before you speak.
Thank you very much.
Lord, we thank you for Jonathan. We thank you for the work of Tear Fund. And we pray that as Jonathan speaks today, that we will be inspired. We pray that you would speak through him into our hearts. Lord, may we hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I'd just like to start by saying, of course, good morning. And I'd also like to say to you, namaste. In November, my wife Penny and I returned to Nepal. We last visited there 30 years ago, and we've always really longed to go back. We trekked in a fairly remote part of the Himalayas, following which Penny, who is a doctor, was able to spend some time in a Christian hospital, and I was able to briefly link up with one of the Tear Fund partnership organisations out there. Although Christians are persecuted in Nepal and it's illegal to evangelise in any way, the number of Christians is growing very significantly, and you can see God at work at all sorts of levels there. We were singing earlier about seeing our joy at the work of God's hands, and you can certainly see God at work, of course, in the astounding beauty of the mountains. But perhaps what's most striking is the open-hearted hospitality of people really struggling to live in small villages isolated high up in the Himalayas. They tend tiny little fields of barley on patches of mountainside with tools and techniques that you would recognise directly from the pages of the Bible. Many of them are still struggling to recover from the devastating earthquake in 2015 that I'm sure you will probably remember. So namaste is the traditional greeting, which means the God in me greets the God in you. And the Bible tells us that we're all made in God's own image. So I think we can find a resonance in these words from a Christian perspective. And certainly the generosity of those who have so little compared to us is deeply challenging. So this morning I want to encourage us all to look within ourselves for the imprint of God in us and ask how we can help in his work of turning less into more. The Bible repeatedly tells us of God's particular desire to bless the poor, and the essential ingredients in that blessing are not food, but life-changing love and compassion. Tear Fund's mission is to follow God's teaching as to how we can work with him, not just to keep the poor physically alive, but to transform their lives altogether. Tear Fund believes that everyone has the God-given potential to bring spiritual as well as material help and hope to others. And our aim is to assist people around the world to unlock these gifts and use them for the benefit of those in poverty in whatever way they can. As you may know, a very necessary part of Tear Fund's work is unfortunately responding to disaster relief. But today what I'd like to do is give you an insight into Tear Fund's longer-term development work, which last year reached 4 million people in over 40 countries. Now in 2019, Tear Fund celebrated its 50th year. That's a significant milestone because in Leviticus, you may remember, every 50 years was Jubilee, when God called on the Israelites to rebalance the inequalities that had grown up since the previous Jubilee. In the world today, inequality, of course, continues to be a very pressing concern, and some even suggest an increasing one. But we shouldn't be discouraged from working against injustice. And the good news can easily be obscured. The number of people living in absolute poverty has fallen dramatically in recent decades. The World Bank defines absolute poverty as living on less than $2 a day. It estimates that in 1980, roughly 44% of the world's then population of 4.5 billion were living in extreme poverty. That 44% was 2 billion people. In 2015, this had dropped to about 9% of a world population of 7 billion people, or 600 million people out of a much larger total. But Tear Fund's vision is to see a complete end to absolute poverty in our lifetimes as part of God's kingdom plan. And the progress already made shows that this is, in fact, achievable. God's kingdom will, of course, only be complete when he brings heaven down to earth and makes all things new. But as Jesus showed through his life and resurrection, we are called to be building it now. As Neil Armstrong memorably said, one small step can represent a journey that takes us to a completely different place. So I would like to introduce you to one individual as a practical example of Tearfund's vision. Her name is Ruth, and if you have one of the Tearfund cards handy in your pew, you can see her picture on the inside there. Like the biblical Ruth, she lives in extreme poverty caused by famine, and she's one of the 600 million people I mentioned. This Ruth, however, lives in Nigeria, which has more people in extreme poverty than any other country, about 180 million. So I'd like you to show you just a short video clip now that allows Ruth to speak to you in her own words.
Life in this community can be very difficult. What makes life so difficult is the lack of food. My dream is to have enough money to meet all our needs. I will pay for my children's education, build a good house, and have savings to deal with any problems that we face. My name is Ruth, and I am married with 6 children. 3 have left home, and sadly, 1 passed away. So I live with my husband and 2 youngest children. We suffer periods of hunger that sometimes last 5 or 6 months. Then we just eat 1 meal a day, and I have to forage for food and live off the little that we have and are able to grow. I try my very best, but the times when I cannot provide food for my children is a huge problem for me. Sometimes my children are sent away from school because I can't afford to pay the fees. Fetching firewood is our only source of income to take care of the family.
Kokida community is a very poor community, lacking potable drinking water, has poor agricultural practices. But the greatest challenge is inadequate food. We have started addressing the needs of these communities by organizing church awakening Bible studies through the support of Tearfund that would eventually help communities lift themselves out of poverty. Through the process, there have been self-help groups that have been formed.
I joined a self-help savings and loans group 1 year ago, and it has helped me make a change in my life. After the first year out, I bought 2 bags of fertilizer. In the past, I harvested 3 to 5 bags of maize, but last harvest yielded 13 bags. The church facilitators also taught us to diversify our crops. If I plant 1 bean and it yields, I can harvest about 70 to 80 beans. I also bought a chicken and 2 pigs, so I thank God for what He has been doing in my life. It awakened me to look for opportunities, and it has helped my faith. Now I put my trust in God. Our farm is very small and not large enough to sell the produce, so I hope to breed livestock. That way, anytime I have a problem, I can sell them to meet our needs, because I have a lot of needs. But still, my most urgent challenge is lack of food and periods of hunger. I want people to pray for me, that God will protect me and God will guide me, that there will be total transformation for my family. I believe the self-help group will bring about that change.
Small changes have started to transform Ruth's life.
With this little, it will one day be something.
Give what you can and see how your gifts are powerful in God's hands.
So Ruth's story shows the reality for those living in extreme poverty. The hunger, insecurity, helplessness, fear and heartbreak for loved ones. Thanks to Phil this morning for the readings and for reminding us again of the feeding of the 5,000. Now this is such a well-known miracle that we're almost prone to skim over it without considering the detail. It's the only miracle to appear in all 4 Gospels. And although the story is essentially the same in each, there are some interesting differences. I'm going to concentrate on the Mark version, but only John tells us that it was a small boy who gave the two fish and the five loaves, the less that Jesus turned into more. And it's striking that he seems to have been the only one in the vast multitude who brought food with him. We may be tempted to think that his mum packed his lunchbox and he hated fish. But rather than being cynical, let's accept what John is telling us here, which is how a very small act of generosity from perhaps the most unlikely person among the crowd could be the starting point for amazing transformation. So now let's turn to Mark. In verse 34 it said, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." Mark describes a situation of great need, but the miracle starts with Jesus meeting spiritual hunger through his teaching. Spiritual need, then as now, was an essential aspect of poverty. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked of the poor in spirit as those who recognize their own spiritual weakness and vulnerability. That might include many of us, but there's also a critical connection between material and spiritual poverty. It's only the knowledge that God loves us that can really heal our deepest spiritual longing. And that's because it transforms us into people who can actively make plans for the future in the confidence that God has loving plans for us. In verse 35 to 36, it says, "By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'This is a remote place,' they said. 'It's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" The disciples have done a lot of ministry. They're tired. They want to go home, curl up on the sofa and watch Strictly. But Jesus' compassion isn't exhausted. He doesn't accept the disciples' solution that the crowd should be sent home hungry, nor does he just magic up a banquet out of nothing. In verse 37, as you heard, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." And throughout Scripture, we see that God calls on us to work with him to help the weak and the vulnerable. The disciples' response to the challenge was complete disbelief. They just can't imagine how it might be possible to feed 5,000 men and all the women and children with them, possibly well over 10,000 people. That would cost the earth, they say. Not surprisingly, they felt powerless and overwhelmed, as we often do. How can we really help all the poor people in Nigeria? But Jesus sees things very differently. He asked, "How much bread do you have?" And then we see something amazing happen. The disciples did as Jesus told them. They contributed what they could, even though it was laughably little. Then Jesus prayed for God's blessing and distributed the food. Next to nothing became so much that after satisfying the hunger of the crowd, the leftovers hugely exceeded the few small loaves and fishes from which they'd come. And this is where we can see the different details highlighted by John and Mark come together. If we open our hearts and minds and give, as the small boy did, or get involved in providing help, as the disciples did, God responds to that faith and performs the miracle of meeting need by turning less into more. As shown in the video, Tear Fund follows these principles in its own approach to spiritual and material development, which helps people to see their situations differently and focus not on what they don't have, but on what they do have and what they can do. At Tear Fund, we believe it's possible to see the end of absolute poverty in our lifetimes. Through prayer and our gifts, we can all not only take part in this work of transformation, but experience it ourselves. Just by way of illustration, it costs £12 a month for a year for two people like Ruth to receive skills training through a self-help group to feed and provide for their family, or £6 per month to get Ruth started on a journey of transformation that empowers her to release herself from the poverty trap. Some of you may already support Tear Fund, and if you do, I'd just like to take the opportunity to really thank you for that. Otherwise, if you would like to join in Tear Fund's work, then please do speak to me afterwards, or just complete one of the leaflets you should have found on your seat. And you can either leave it with me or send it on by post to Tear Fund. What makes the most difference is regular giving, even of modest amounts, because as you've seen, the work itself is long-term. If you need time to think or talk it over, just fill in your contact number on the form and someone from Tear Fund will phone you and give you whatever further information you need. And Tear Fund also provides good updates on how money is spent and how it's transforming lives, but you have control over how much information you receive. It's an opportunity to see how the little in our hands can be multiplied by God to do the miraculous. So let's pray for Ruth and for ourselves. Loving and faithful Father, we praise you for your love and mercy. Thank you for listening to us, for taking an interest in every area of our lives. Thank you that you understand our needs and that you provide ways for us to help others in need. We lift up Ruth and her family to you, and we pray with expectant faith for her prayers to be answered, that she will feel God's guidance and protection and will experience total transformation. We place our gifts and our lives in your hands and ask that you use us for your glory. Amen.